City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Scott Duff.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 518. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Scott Duff.
We're like on the 1970s white velvet couch.
Yes, trying to be cozy because it sucks. The weather has been horrible in Chicago.
People are building arcs and stuff. We're going to have some awesome Mayflowers.
We better have awesome Mayflowers because spring has been like God's eternal cock tease. Like his seasonal cock tease of like, hey, do you remember it was 60 degrees that one day? You like that? You like that? Oh, that was really good. It felt good to be warm. Then bam! No! 27 degrees!
Yeah.
It's like God is totally fucking with us in Chicago. It's horrible.
Well, it's been raining everywhere too. It's like coast to coast practically.
I know. It's
when I look, I have on my iPhone, you know, like all my favorite places, so sometimes I can dream them somewhere else. Do you ever do that?
No, you sound like my mom who checks the weather like where all of her kids are.
I kind of do, but they're not where my kids are. They're just places I like to go to. Like I have Santa Fe on there, and I have like the most recent place I've gone to visit, you know. I was just in Miami for the first time ever.
Welcome to Miami.
Miami.
Bienvenido.
With some lady friends and with some people, you know, we stayed in a friend's house down there. And so I have Miami on there, kind of like looking what's going on in Miami. I have...
Miami always makes me feel bad about myself.
Does it?
Yes.
Let me tell you, it is high octane down there.
I know. Like, it's intense, but everybody is so... gorgeous down there.
Well,
they really are.
They're put together. I don't know if they're as gorgeous as they're put together, but there are a lot of pretty people.
And there are a lot of pretty people, and they're really put together. And I mean, look, I'm wearing shit from H&M. Like, H&M, H to T, H&M. Like, I don't have the money to be...
H to T, Tyra, H&M.
Yeah, you know, like, I mean...
That's head to toe for anybody who doesn't watch... America's Next Top Model. Yeah, it's true. I mean, I was kind of warned by my friend, you know, bring outfits. Everybody will be dressed up. This is where
good.
We're going, you know. And, you know, I don't know. We kind of had me who, I have good days and casual days.
Girl, whatever. You always look good.
Tell me to look good,
you
I will.
You will look,
but
you
if,
will
if
bust
you don't
it
tell
out.
Me, I'm like, I'm not. I'm
well,
just
like today, you're in your Martha Stewart farmwear.
Martha Stewart farmwear. My little Jeggings and my little plaid J.
And your little
Crew
puffy
shirt,
vest.
My little
and your
puffy
rain
vest
boots.
And my rain boots. But, yeah, you know, but there was just kind of a different... All the people that I was there with are just kind of a different thing. Like, one of them is a real hipster. Uh-huh. You know, she doesn't have anything with color to it. It's like, you know, blacks and grays and browns. And so, you know, she was so excited that she bought, like, some melon-colored capris.
Yeah, but you see, but you the know? Thing is, like, I know her. And she automatically gets, like, total cachet just because she's got, like,
she's
major
so cool.
ink.
She's got major
cool.
ink.
She's got, like, beautiful tattoos.
She's got major ink. She's although this- that's looked at really interestingly down there, which is so surprising because... You know, we went around the whole graffiti district, uh-huh. which was really, really beautiful. And it was raining that day, as the theme is right. for the month. But you know, you kind of feel, I kind of feel like, oh, Miami, it's like really urban and open and free. And I don't know, I think it's like the American Brazil, but it kind of, and I'm not making reference to the movie, but the country, the nation, but it's not really. I mean, there's like, you well, know, still South Florida. Beach, South Beach, it's still Florida, but it's also just Miami, which is kind of, has these old roots, you know. But we did go to South Beach, not to like hang out, because once you see that there's like a Johnny Rockets on South Beach, you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of like going to somewhere else. But the architecture is beautiful, all the deco hotels, mm-hmm. and then off from there. But you know, I had no idea. I was telling my mom, like, I said, Mom, we like literally were just driving, and because it was kind of rainy that day, there weren't a lot of people driving around and or even out, and we like literally stopped like right in front of Johnny Versace's house, you know, where he was shot. And mm-hmm. then I was like, from the street to his front door, you know, makes me look like I have a huge front lawn. Like, it's literally inches from the sidewalk. It's like that Johnny Rockets is like right. four doors down. Like, he was right in the middle of all the hustle and bustle. And I guess, you know, back when that whole thing happened, and what was he, Cunanan or?
Yeah, Andrew Cunanan. Yeah. That's good. I remember his Andrew. And you know that he has a Chicago connection, because he came through, like all serial killers, though he wasn't a serial killer, they all seem to end up at Little Jim's.
What?
Don't you remember? But years ago, Amy and I did this play with About Face Theater, which we'll talk about later on.
Yeah.
But we did a play called Fascination by Jim Grimsley, and it was yeah. about the serial killer.
The award-winning writer.
Yeah, and we, award-winning queer writer.
Yes.
And we got this gigantic packet of, like, it was the creepiest research packet that we've right. ever had.
I wish I still had that.
God, no. I that entire process made me paranoid every time I was walking yeah,
we
home
had
alone.
Serial killer playing cards,
yeah. But they were weird. All like, a lot of the people are from the Midwest, weird.
Yeah.
And most of them has time gone to Little Jim's.
Oh God.
Little Jim's, I'm telling you, watch it if you go there.
Yeah. Well,
someone will eat your face.
I don't know. It's been there for a long ass time.
I know it has. I think that's why.
Through it. But yeah, so
sorry.
I loved it. I loved it. That was so much history.
But
he
got through like in drag too, I think. Because he hid in drag.
I think so.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then he killed himself, right?
I
think
know.
So. Anyhow, but I didn't realize it was like right there, like the steps that he died on were like right there. I mean,
did you leave flowers?
No, we didn't get out of the car. It was raining, but it was like, I was just like, I don't know. That was kind of interesting to me, and I love the ocean. So the beach was great there, and you know, the food was really, really good. We ate a lot of Cuban food. We heard Cuban yeah. music. We had some really interesting Peruvian food one night. Peruvian? Yes. Persian. Yeah. Persian, Peruvian. I always get them confused.
Persian?
I don't know.
Or Peruvian. That's two big things. Was there a banana leaf involved? Or was there like garbanzo beans? Because Persian food were probably more like lentils.
It was lots of seafood.
Yeah, that's probably Peruvian then.
Okay. Yeah, it was like unlike any food I'd ever eaten in my entire life. But anyhow, we had a great time. So I have Miami on my iPhone. So I looked at it the past few days. And then, you know, I just have like all my favorite places, like Santa Fe. I have North Carolina. I have Memphis, of course. It's been really pretty in Memphis.
I know. It's been very pretty in Memphis.
That
it rained so much in Chicago that they had to reverse the flow of the river.
Oh, yeah.
So that it would empty. That. Yeah. You know, like, okay, if you don't know, the Chicago River, we've tricked nature and we reversed the way it flows.
Right.
So they've had to reverse it so that actually the water can go back into like Michigan, because it was just getting backed up into the sewers and all this stuff. So they're letting it flow the way God made it. And then I guess they're going to flip a switch and
all the water.
Move it the other way.
All the water control. That's like a lot of what this town is about.
It's true.
It's really true. Yeah, my family was like, are you washing away? I was like, no. When I bought my place, I made sure I was on the right side of Clark and Ashland.
Yeah, because
if you're west of Clark and Ashland, you're high and you won't flood, or at least I don't. And I'm grateful for
and
that.
And I want to give a shout out to Buster Dog.
Yes.
My little woofin.
Your
he
woofing.
Did such a good job. He does not like storms at all.
Yeah.
I was having a big old panic all day long because I couldn't find his damn thunder jacket. Let me tell you, shout out to the Thunder Jacket people. That shit works. Okay? If you have a dog that is freaked out by storms, get a Thunder Jacket.
Yeah, it's a little bit of the, what do you call it? The, oh.
Dead air.
Dead air.
Dead air. What's
Claire
going on?
Claire Danes. What was the?
Oh, Tempest, some Tempest whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel a bad word to fly out of my mouth. I can't think of it.
What can I think of what the name of the movie is? Temple Grandin.
Yeah.
Temple Grandin. That's what it is. It's that same philosophy of like swaddling that babies like, you know, you have to swaddle or Temple Grandin. That's when you wedge yourself between two things to feel comforted.
Yes. Well, that's where it all came from like autistic kids and babies. Yeah. They like to be swaddled. So do puppy dogs.
I think so.
So I'm telling you, because Nilla,
she did not do so well.
Buster dog, solid. Yeah. He never is. He's a total asshole whenever it storms.
Yeah, he did really well.
He did so well.
Aw, our little kids.
I know, our babies.
Those are our babies.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's so much news going on. Some of it going on internationally. Legislation, some sports stuff, which I never talk about, but I'm excited about and I'm going to talk about. And then some new news for the Chicago's Gay and Lesbian Theater Company, GLBT Theater Company in Town About Face. So Scott Duff with me on the couch on these rainy days. This is a rainy but sunny. We try to make it on the inside podcast for you today. So stay with us. We're going to go to some GLBT news.
The Joffrey Ballet's Othello is electric, heartbreaking, and unforgettable, according to the Chicago Tribune. Witness the ambition and betrayal in this passionate and powerful contemporary dance theater that's choreographed by Chicago's very own Laura Lubavitch and set to a commanding score by Academy Award winner Elliot Goldenthal. Featuring breathtaking costumes, elaborate multimedia projections, and unparalleled dancing, this will be your last chance to see the Joffrey perform the critically acclaimed Othello at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University, now through May 5th. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. More than half of the United States senators back marriage equality, with announcements from Joe Donnelly, the Democrat from Indiana, and Heidi Heitkamp, the Democrat from North Dakota. The total number of senators backing marriage equality has reached 53, including 49 Democrats, 2 independents, and 2 Republicans.
Former Senator Olympia Snowe, the Republican from Maine, said she supports same-sex marriage despite a long history of declining to state her position while in office. Snowe voted for the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, which banned the federal government from recognizing states' same-sex marriages. However, she no longer backs the measure.
Every state has seen an increase in support for same-sex marriage over the last 8 years. The report, titled Public Support for Marriage for Same-Sex Couples by State, examines public support for same-sex marriage by state and reveals the current position of each state's general population on the legality of same-sex marriage, how public opinion differs across 50 states and the District of Columbia, and the change in public opinion since 2004.
A gay-friendly hotel may open in the heart of Boys Town, Chicago. Parkview Developers, LLC, wants to develop an approximately 112-room hotel on the 3300 block of North Halsted Street called the Out Chicago. Modeled after the Out New York City, or Out NYC, which opened just more than a year ago, the hotel would include an enclosed atrium that would double as event space, a full spa and gym, a rooftop bar, a restaurant, and retail space.
Tennessee's Don't Say Gay bill, which would have prohibited discussion of homosexuality in the classroom, has died again. The House sponsor, Republican Representative John Reagan of Oak Ridge, had planned to amend the legislation to require principals or counselors to identify students who might be a potential threat, but he never got a chance to do so. Reagan plans to reintroduce the bill next year.
Out Magazine has presented its 7th annual Power 50 list. Apple CEO Tim Cook is number one, while this is the first time Anderson Cooper, number 5, is publicly outed on the list. Other people are Ellen DeGeneres, number 2, statistician Nate Silver, 6, U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin, 9, singer Frank Ocean, 10, fashion designer, actor Marc Jacobs, number 19, financial guru Susie Orman is 28, and RuPaul, number 50.
In Kansas City, Missouri, a gay man, Roger Gourley, was arrested and issued a restraining order after he refused to leave his partner's hospital bedside. Gourley said that he and his partner, Alan, had been in a civil union for 5 years and have legal power of attorney agreements to make medical decisions for one another. However, when a member of Alan's family asked Roger to leave, staff at Research Medical Center refused to recognize the men's partnership and had police arrest Roger.
In Delaware, state legislators filed a marriage equality bill. Most of the state's political leadership, including the governor, lieutenant governor, speaker of the House, and Senate president, announced the introduction of marriage equality legislation. Currently, Delaware has a state-level marriage statute that prohibits marriage between people of the same gender, but voters there never amended the state constitution to ban the practice. The legislation aims to revise the statute language and establish marriage equality.
In world news, rainbow flags across Amsterdam were flown at half-mast to mark the arrival of the Russian President Vladimir Putin in protest against the proposed bill that would make promotion of homosexuality among youths punishable in Russia. Putin visited the Dutch capital to showcase the economic ties between the two countries worth $83 billion in bilateral trade last year. The Russian State Duma voted 388-1 to support the bill January 25th. It will return for a second reading later this year.
Tasmania's lower house has approved a bill giving same-sex couples and unmarried straight couples the right to adopt on the same basis as married heterosexual couples.
Singapore's High Court has rejected a petition to repeal a law criminalizing sex between men. The court said it was up to a parliament to repeal a provision in the penal code known as Section 377A. The law dates back to British colonial rule in Singapore and carries a maximum penalty of 2 years in jail for same-sex acts.
Business Insider has listed 13 countries that it considers more LGBT-friendly than the United States. Among the nations are the Netherlands, the first country to legalize same-sex marriage, Belgium, South Africa, Denmark, Argentina, and Germany. So far, 11 countries have legalized same-sex marriage, and 7 of them are in Western Europe or Scandinavia.
In entertainment news, Barbra Streisand will direct an as-yet-untitled love story based on the relationship between photographer Margaret Bourke White and author Erskine Caldwell. Bourke White was a photojournalist who became the first female photographer for Life magazine in 1936. Streisand's other directing efforts include Yentl, The Prince of Tides, and The Mirror Has Two Faces.
In Chicago, mourners packed the Holy Name Cathedral to remember acclaimed film critic Roger Ebert. During the mass, his widow, Chaz, said it didn't matter to him your race, creed, color, level of ability, sexual orientation. He had a heart big enough to accept and love all. Ebert died April 4th at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer. He worked for the Chicago Sun-Times for more than 40 years.
The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has received a $25 million commitment from the David Geffen Foundation for the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures. The gift is the largest commitment received to date. In recognition of this gift, the Academy will name the museum's premier-sized theater the David Geffen Theater.
Annette Funicello, from the original 1955-59 incarnation of Disney's The Mickey Mouse Club, died April 8th after a long battle with multiple sclerosis. She was 70 years old. Funicello had been in a coma for years. Funicello starred in such movies as 1959's The Shaggy Dog and 1961's Babes in Toyland.
Sarah Gilbert of The Talk announced her engagement to musician/songwriter Linda Perry. In 2011, Gilbert, who is now 38, split from TV producer Addison Adler, the two share custody of son Levi, 8, and daughter Sawyer, 5.
Cyndi Lauper has announced the She's So Unusual tour to celebrate the 30th anniversary of her groundbreaking debut album. During the 23-date tour, which will kick off June 12th in San Diego and wrap up July 13th in Connecticut, Lauper will perform the album in its entirety.
Someone who allegedly stalked out singer Clay Aiken has been arrested. Barbara Saylor, 57, was arrested outside the singer's home in North Carolina. She was booked on charges of misdemeanor stalking and misdemeanor first-degree trespassing. Aiken was home at the time of the arrest.
Judge Judy will be on the bench for at least two more years. The former New York State judge presides over one of the top daytime TV shows, seen by approximately 10 million people each episode. The New Deal extends her show through 2017. Currently, she earns a reported $45 million annual salary.
Lifetime will premiere its new drama, Devious Maids, which Mark Cherry and Ava Longoria, both of Desperate Housewives fame, are executive producing on Sunday, June 23rd. The cast, including Ana Ortiz of Ugly Betty, Dania Ramirez of Entourage, Rosalind Sanchez from Without a Trace, Edie Gavin of Livin' Loud, and Judy Reyes of Scrubs, portray five maids with ambition and dreams of their own while working for the rich and famous in Beverly Hills.
Nate Berkus and boyfriend Jeremiah Brent are engaged to be married. The pair, who have been dating for 9 months, made it official atop Machu Picchu. Berkus, 41, popped the question to Brent, Rachel Zoe's former assistant, during their trip to Peru.
DC Comics will continue to expand the LGBT diversity of its superhero universe by introducing the first openly transgender character in a mainstream superhero comic. In Batgirl number 19, currently on sale in both print and digital formats, the character Alicia Yeo will reveal that she is a transgender woman while conversing with her roommate Barbara Gordon, a.k.a. Batgirl. Taking care to distinguish Yeo's sexual orientation from her gender identity, Batgirl writer Gail Snow noted that the character is also bisexual.
And HBO has ordered episodes of Ryan Murphy's racy new project, Open, which he is creating and writing with Dexter co-executive producer Lauren Gussis, is described as a modern, provocative exploration of human sexuality and relationships. A fifth season renewal for Glee is pending. But Murphy's third installment of American Horror Story, called American Horror Story Coven, will star Kathy Bates, Jessica Lange, and Sarah Paulson.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hi, this is Amy Sedaris, and you're listening to the Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of April 22nd, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Charlie is 600 pounds, gay, and desperately trying to connect with his daughter. The Whale is a powerful new play written by Samuel Hunter, and it's playing now to critical raves through May 5th at Victory Gardens Theater. 4 stars, says the Chicago Tribune. Go to victorygardens.org for information and for tickets to The Whale.
The Tenors come to the Auditorium Theater on Sunday, May 12th at 7 p.m. for a special Mother's Day performance of classical music and contemporary pop. From Elton John to Puccini to Bob Dylan, don't miss The Tenors in Chicago for one night only. For tickets to The Tenors, visit auditoriumtheater.org.
The Pope of Trash is back. John Waters returns to the Harris Theater with This Filthy World on May 21st. To attend the performance and meet John Waters at the exclusive post-show benefit reception, visit harristheaterchicago.org.
Steppenwolf Theater Chicago presents Head of Passes, a world premiere from the creative team behind the celebrated hit The Brothers Sister Plays. Tickets on sale now at steppenwolf.org. Head of Passes is playing now through June 9th.
America's health and wellness guru, Jillian Michaels, comes to the Auditorium Theater for one day only, Friday, May 10th at 8 o'clock, live on stage with her Maximize Your Life tour. No hype, no false promises, just results. For tickets to Jillian Michaels, visit auditoriumtheater.org. VIP tickets are available.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
We'll be right back.
say I'm not a very sporty lesbian. But
I will vouch for that.
You can vouch for
that. I am not a sporty lesbian either.
You are not.
Except when the Olympics come around.
Yes. And you become very...
I love...
Your name
some
is like Dulala.
I love some swimmers and some male gymnasts. Yes. I always pretend that I'm the pummel horse. And they're doing those scissor kicks over me. I love it. Go USA!
Go USA!
And usually the Greek diving team. But anyway, I digress. You were going to say something. We're going to be talking about the WNBA.
We are a little bit.
Nasty. I'm hip to the jive.
You're hip to the jive. Brittany Griner of Baylor University, number one WNBA draft pick, which is super, super cool. And she's gone to the Phoenix Mercury. And I am definitely, I've just got to get my butt regularly to WNBA games because my father is a huge women's basketball, mm-hmm. or girls, as he probably calls it.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because he's an 80-something-year-old Southern man. Love you. Love you, Daddy. But the girls' basketball. But to his
credit,
you know, he's always like, the girls still play b-ball. They play an interesting game. They're not all about throwing it down the court and slam dunking it. Well, Brittany does. Brittany, right. You know, she slams it and dunks it and all kinds of stuff. But it's so exciting because I feel like we're kind of in a game-changing time now with sports on a lot of levels. In the past months, we've had a lot of news stories on our weekly news on the Queercast about, you know, there's an NFL player about to come out. We've always had them from Europe, of the soccer players and mm-hmm. and rugby players and other things.
I like rugby players too.
They're making the big, you know, rugby movie with Mickey Rourke playing Gareth. I can't remember his name right now. But anyhow, the biopic. But, you know, I think it's so amazing that somebody who was the number one, you know, the number one draft pick and, you know, hasn't even graduated from Baylor yet, you know, in college. And, she's so out. She's come out, you know. She's very clear about wanting, you know, realizing she's a role model and wanting people to be who they are, and you know. And it's really cool. I posted on my Facebook. You know, there was an interview with three of the top women players. You know, who all are very different. You know, I mean, Brittany is tough and athletic and wearing the bow tie and the gingham shirt and but has her nails painted, you know. And then you've got, you know, another player, very, I would say, very femme, you know, identifies as heterosexual, you know, and then blonde Midwest kind of, you know, basketball player. And to see the solidarity of them talking around, you know, the images of them being tall and athletic women, about sexuality, you know, the question was posed, like, why do you think it's so comfortable for women to come out and not men in sports? And I love that some of these women, they didn't try to answer that. They were like, we don't know, and we don't want to be compared to the men, and we're happy if our games are not compared to the men, and you know.
Well, I mean, but I think it also goes back just to...
But it's gender, right?
It's
not even a sexuality thing. It's a gender thing.
It's a gender thing. I mean, well, I don't know. I mean, I definitely have my own opinions in terms of, like, why... I think generally it's easier for women to come out.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, right now... Well, actually, it's improving. Yeah. But it's... It just seems more socially acceptable for women to show affection towards each other, and they're
absolutely
not threatened by it. Whereas opposed to, and truthfully, like, if we want to look at the United States, and if we also want to look in terms of, like, the money that's at stake,
it's much
higher for men, which isn't fair. I'm not saying that it's fair or right, but I mean, I think that it really is more difficult because if you are, say, a football player and you are playing with one of these major franchises that get a lot of money, you're supposed to be a big, badass motherfucker.
Yeah.
And they don't think that you can be gay and be a big, badass motherfucker.
Yeah, and it definitely, that's a difference between American sports and European
absolutely,
sports.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sure. And, you know, I think it's even interesting that, like, in the past 2 weeks ago, we did the story about Magic Johnson's son being out. And, you know, Magic and Cookie being so supportive of him. And, you know, I think the tide's turning. I mean, I just feel like this tidal wave of, you know, this kind of, these kind of stories. And, you know, Cheryl Swoops was like, you know, was such a big deal when she was out and came out and kind of was leading the WNBA. And now she is in our backyard. She's the new coach at Loyola, which is so super cool to have her, you know, in Chicago and coaching at Loyola University, which is just taken off. That school has just taken off nationally.
Well, the thing that I also really loved about Brittany's statement, like in one of the interviews, is she didn't talk about like sexuality so much as she talked about the importance of being your authentic self.
Yeah.
And that was the phrase that really stuck out to me, just because that was also the phrase that made me turn around when I was teaching in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
When I was put on the, you know, I was told, you can't be gay. Don't tell the students that you're gay.
Yeah.
And yet they're encouraging me to be my authentic self, when I was just like, okay, screw you. I'm just going to be my authentic self.
Yeah.
And that was, I just think that phrase is so empowering, and can only imagine if you like, if are like a young girl or young woman, like who really follows the sport, and you know, to have somebody like that so vocal and so talented.
Yeah.
How great it must
be. So sickly talented. Yeah. I mean, she is changing the game. I mean, entirely. And yeah, I think that's, I think what it is great about it is it sounded to me like she was saying, I don't know any other way to be. This is who I am.
Right.
And so I'm just who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and on the court, and that what the other women said, you know, is it doesn't matter. You know, what matters is what kind of a b-ball player you are. You know, what matters is what your inside game. You know, what matters is, you know, how you are on the team.
Right.
Like, you know, they don't care about any of that stuff. It's not relevant. So that's why they said they don't understand for men. But you obviously have brought up a lot of other issues. Well, you know, I will say that this past week, one of the things that, you know, is so compelling is that, you know, we still don't have a vote in Illinois on same-sex marriage. And, you know, that continues to unveil itself. We had great momentum, and now it's slowed because they had their spring break and whatever. But that the Illinois House passes, you know, the medical marijuana bill. And I feel like it's just kind of passed, and, you know, and that it's...
Well, but it's been like, we also in Chicago, at least, there'd been that law where it's like, it's no longer, you can't get arrested for it. You just get like a fine for possession or something.
Yeah.
It's like basically a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Lord knows I've gotten, since I've been back, I've gotten 2 tickets for running red lights.
Have you really?
Yes, it's horrible. Those cameras. Those motherfucking cameras.
Yeah, those are bad.
But in terms of like the whole like legalization of it, it seems like,
yeah,
I feel like, you know, we're kind of loosening up.
I guess so. We'll see. I mean, I kind of feel like, you know, the poor ultra conservatives are probably freaking out now. Like, the gays are about to get married and the marijuana is about to be smoked.
I know. We're coming up on April 20th.
Token and poking.
Token and poking. It's like, it's legal now to smoke a joint. You just can't smoke the pole of your husband if you're a man, because you can't be a husband. Unless you moved to New Zealand.
Unless you lived in New Zealand.
Yes,
how
in
sweet
Middle
was
Earth.
That?
I know.
In Middle Earth.
You're back in Middle Earth. But look, girl, look at The Hobbit. There's nothing. That last movie is nothing but a bunch of gay hobbits crying over how much they love each other and how sad they are.
I didn't see
it. Oh, no. And you know, like, they're busted into song. And I'm certain it was a show tune. They just, like, you're doing fine. You're a homo. You're a homo. Oh. You're gay. You know, I think that's to me, is what they did.
The Hobbits.
No, in New Zealand. But
New Zealand, yes.
Because that's what they did. Like,
yes,
they all sang together.
Yes.
And I'm sure it was, they
Very
were doing
moving.
A big old show tune.
Yes. In Middle Earth.
In Middle Earth. And then they went up the road for a shrimp on the babby.
And the shrimp on the babby. So you, I mean, you're very witty always with us on the Queercast, but you headlined over or emceed over at the Laugh Factory.
What's
going on at the Laugh Factory? Well, they're getting gayed up, aren't
they? We're getting gayed up, yeah.
What is the Laugh Factory for people who don't
the
know?
The Laugh Factory is actually one of the oldest comedy clubs. It started in LA like 33 years ago, and it's kind of been the birthplace of so many people, like Jerry Seinfeld and Kathy Griffin and Chris Rock and Jamie Foxx. Like, all of these people have gone through Laugh Factory, and this past August they opened up their 4th location in Chicago. They've got 2 in LA, 1 in Vegas, and then 1 here.
And it's right in Boys Town.
It's right in Boys Town and
Belmont and Broadway.
Yeah, Belmont and Broadway. And we're in the works right now. I can't really say too much, but right now what it looks like, we're going to be doing a big old queer night.
Yeah.
Of queer stand-up with Chicago, the best of Chicago's gay stand-up, and hopefully bringing in some outside guests as well. It's going to start out as a once a month thing.
Yeah.
We're aiming for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
The actual Memorial Day. So it's going to be on Mondays because a lot of those funny gays are doing shows, and that's usually the night off. So that's what we're going to be doing.
That's
so I'm hosting that and producing it and getting it together and working with some really great
people. But you went and hosted the other night, right? But it wasn't a gay night.
It wasn't a gay night. It was an open mic night, and I was the host.
How was that?
It was good. You know, open mic nights are weird because it's like, it's basically just a bunch of comics trying out new stuff in front of other comics.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and the host is there just to kind of string things together and keep
the
night moving.
Did you have to do an opening monologue?
I did a little bit of an opener, which was good.
What did you talk about?
Oh, I talked about just like Chicago weather and how fucked up the South is. And then I wrapped it up with my award-winning monologue from John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yes.
Basically, I just say Paul over and over again and get stabbed. But, you know.
Yeah.
So it went well. It was fun. And then, you know, I love hosting stuff. I've hosted many, many events all over the city. And I get up there and I just make fun of people. I do my thing. So.
Well, the next one you do, I hope you'll let us, well, especially when the one for Memorial Day, maybe we'll have some of the comedians on, or we'll promote it.
Yeah.
And get them on the
Oh, that'd be great.
That would be super
cool.
That'd
be really, really great.
Also, how you and I met, like around our About Face Theater days. About Face Theater has some big news this past weekend, which was just announced, and the big Wonka Ball is coming up this Friday. So
April 26th,
Circus Maximus, which is happening in Ravenswood area.
Architectural artifacts.
And people can get tickets at aboutfacetheater.com.
Yep, and that's theater with an R-E.
With an R-E.
Because so we're artsy-fartsy.
You are, and queer.
Yeah.
So talk to me about the new artistic director.
Well, we've got a new artistic director named Andrew Volkoff.
Volkoff.
He's amazing. He has spent like 20 years in artistic leadership.
Uh-huh.
He's coming to us from New York. It was a little weird to kind of, truthfully, to have somebody from outside the Chicago theater community.
Yep.
But during the whole interview process, he met with a bunch of the company members, our artistic associates, and we had a good, like, really long time just kind of grilling him and finding out what makes him tick. And he's committed to social justice and activism. And he is...
And the classics in
and
history,
the classics,
right?
too. The thing that I love is he's got experience with so many different types of productions of, like, moving cutting-edge new plays forward, developing new work and cultivating new artists and working with, like, these new emerging artists and helping them find their voice. But he also is a firm believer in kind of reclaiming, like, queer playwrights as a part of queer history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so...
Noel Coward. Oscar Wilde.
Lorraine Hansberry.
Tennessee Williams.
Like, all these people who might not necessarily write queer themes.
Yep.
Or queer
sometimes
characters.
They do.
Sometimes they do. And actually, I mean, what is a
Most
queer
of
theme?
Them do.
It's a human theme.
Right. Yep.
But, like, taking some of these works and trying to find, like, or putting a queer spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, or just producing works that were written by lesbian and gay men in the past.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a really, really exciting time. And we're sad to see Bonnie go. And, you know, she did so much for the company. She really, like, just unified the whole artistic body together. And it was just incredible.
And she forged a lot of relationships with other theaters
Absolutely,
in town that
yeah.
he'll be able to walk into now and have relationships with Steppenwolf and with
Victory Gardens
and some of the major houses in town, which that's fantastic.
Yeah,
to have
so
those.
While we're sad to see Bonnie go, it's really an exciting time. And if you come to Wonka Ball, you could probably meet him because he's going to be
What
in
happens
town.
At the Wonka Ball? Why would people want to come?
The Wonka Ball is just a crazy, big, gigantic party.
Yeah. But there's all ages.
It's
well, it's
all
definitely,
ages.
Oh, usually.
It's,
well, there are there. Mm-hmm.
There will be, I think, some of the About
some
This
the youth
theater, the youth ensemble will be there, I think.
Yeah.
Being watched over closely because the libations are flowing.
Yeah, there's bar open
and
bar
great
and
food
tons
and
of
silent auction.
Restaurants.
And this year with, like, oh my gosh, it's so much fun. There's a, with the usual silent auction, but now they're doing this big spinny wheel of prizes sort of thing. So it's like, they're like three different categories. There's like, you know, two schmini schmini prize, and then there's like one big prize sort of thing. And you pay $20 and you get to spin the wheel and you win something automatically. And so like there are a ton of restaurants, there are tickets to Laugh Factory. I mean, it's just great. And there's like awesome music and the circus theme. They've been, the committee this year has been working so hard.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have hot Ben Sprunger, who I doubt will be wearing much, you know, just because
that's
how
British
rolls.
Mark for the people who
British mark for the homosexuals. Yes.
Or the Lehman Brothers, if you saw Enron.
Yeah. But he's like, I mean, it's just going to be fun. And I think there's going to be like circus attractions and acts. And I think there might even be like a fire eater and a bearded lady and
tightrope walking.
Oh, I don't think that one's a little trickier. Mm-hmm. I think just insurance wise.
Yeah. So, but then it's eating fire.
Yeah,
oh, that's good.
I know. So it's
who knew.
It's, so it's just a really fun party. There's a VIP reception from 7 to 8, where it's just like you get to meet with all like the hobnobby, like the big gay elite.
Yeah.
All the people that they're honoring that night. Meet with the artistic associates and with the new artistic director, and then 8 o'clock the doors open for everybody else, and the party really gets underway.
Well, it's pretty cool. So I hope everybody will go out and support this new chapter in About Face Theater's life, and get your tickets to Circus Maximus. It's been named one of the top gay galas annually for the past number of years by Chicago Magazine and Time Out and all these places.
Oh,
in
but
the
speaking
Chicago
of
Tribune.
Time Out, did you hear about that?
Yes.
Crazy. It's just weird.
There's no more Time Out.
It's online. For those of you who don't know, they got bought out by Time Out, I guess, International.
Yeah.
And they're no longer going to be publishing. It's just going to be digital.
It's going to be all digital.
It's crazy. There's going to be no more books ever.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I like books, I like magazines.
Magazines, and I like papers. Uh-huh. I love my iPad apps, and we have one too for Windy City Times. And, you know, you and I love
the
Entertainment Weekly. When you subscribe to a magazine, you get the iPad app, which I love. But, and that's good sometimes when you're traveling, you don't want to take everything with you, but
Something about actually holding
a
physical thing.
I love dog-earing a magazine and ripping stuff out that I want to save.
Turning pages, the actual...
Awesome.
But anyway.
So we're launching into, speaking on our entertainment trend here, just to wrap up, summer movies. You know, there's kind of like Oscar movies or summer movies. And
summer blockbusters!
You are such a summer blockbuster.
I love them. I got
kid.
So excited that, like, when G.I. Joe Redemption came out.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord. What a piece of poop that was. But it was thinking, like, blowing shit up. And, you know, and Dwayne, I'm sorry, it was just Dwayne Johnson. He wasn't Dwayne the Rock Johnson. But man, oh man, I want to be like, oh God, I'm screwing up this joke. Damn it. I want to be like Maria von Trapp and climb every mountain. Like, he is a mountain of a man. I just want to swing on that thing, gnaw on it for a little bit. but there's
While he's the pommel horse.
I know,
it's the same kind of feeling.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm really excited. I'm going this week to see Jurassic Park in 3D.
Okay, I saw it.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to admit something so embarrassing. Jurassic Park is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, well, here's the funny thing. I was just with a gal the other day, and I told her that I was going to go with my friend and some kids. And she was like, oh, my God, I love Jurassic Park so much. Now, she's a decade younger than you and I. But she was like, it's like my favorite movie of all times. Like, I've even gone to Halloween just 2 years ago as whatever. And she named the character. And I was like, is that Laura Dern's character? She's like, yes, I wore the khaki shorts and the whole thing. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was like, and my friend and I were both sitting there. We were like, I don't think, I don't know where I was when Jurassic Park came out. For me, it was like more like The Empire Strikes Back or Romancing the Stone, or those were my big movies.
No,
but Jurassic Park,
to me, there is nothing.
It's genius.
It's brilliant. And
I mean,
like,
those puppets that he built were
I know.
Spielberg.
So the cool thing is, like, you know, it really changed the way movies were made, like CGI, but the fact that half of it were real puppets and stuff, there was something about the first time seeing it on the big screen when you're like, oh my God, those are dinosaurs. They're there.
Yep.
Now, I also own the movie. And
I've only seen it one time.
No, okay. It's just here's the thing. I own the movie. It's my go-to. Like, it makes me feel better. I'm such a freak. Well, I just went to go see it.
Okay.
Here's the deal. The 3D doesn't really do much. Like, every once in a while you see, like, oh, there's a leaf really close to my face. But the thing that I liked most was watching Laura Dern's pants.
Yes.
It is a different time, ladies. When you used to wear pants like on your waist. I mean, these things are like touching her nipples, basically. Yeah. I mean, they are so far up there. And I'm like, wow, her jeans when you first see her at the dig. Just and then her little jeans. Shorts. She got mom jeans on.
Yeah.
And they're really hot.
They're really hot.
But if you've got some like youngsters that you're probably going to go see.
Well, you know, you can go see it at the IMAX if you live in a town that has IMAX. Yeah. And we do. And so I've kind of thought, well, do I see it in IMAX or 3D? But I just think 3D is fun when you can go every now and again and see it.
Absolutely. I mean, here's the deal. If you've got little ones, not so little ones, because it's a freaky movie. I jumped many times. But like if you've got a little kid, like younger kids who haven't seen it or especially haven't seen it on the big screen, take them because it's just
the Velociraptors. Awesome. I'm so excited. They scare
me.
They're
so mean. That I like kitchen the Spitosaurus. The kitchen scene is horrible, but the Spitosaurus, the one that looks like,
poisons you
and it goes like that.
Yeah.
There we are. It makes me so happy. I'm sorry. I'm such a geek.
So Superman's coming out. Man of Steel.
I know. And one of our friends is in it. You can hear her. I don't know how much she's in it, but you can just hear her on the trailer. She's the one who's like, my son was on the bus. He saw what Clark did. You know, it was very, I'm like, go Heidi.
Oh, Heidi Kettering.
Heidi Kettering, a big
awesome
Chicago actress.
In Chicago.
And Michael Shannon, who was in Chicago a long time ago. He's playing General Zod.
Yes, he's the villain.
But they got rid of Superman's panties.
Well, he's kind of wearing almost a Spider-Man suit.
He's
isn't
a little more Spider-Man. They kept everything, but they took away his panties. And that's part of the thing for me. I've got to see, you know, the little red panties.
The red jockeys.
Yeah. You know me.
I know you.
I just like to see that.
The banana hammock. You like
it?
Yeah,
I like. I've got the speedo fetish.
You like the. You do.
But there's
the
thing that I just wanted to.
Well, so he doesn't have one now. It's
no,
all one suit.
It's all like, one suit. But he like still looks kind of hot. Although on the cover of Entertainment Weekly, he looks a little like Jim Carrey.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, but that's just me.
What else are you excited about this
summer? Oh gosh, what so much? The Great Gatsby.
Oh, Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, dude,
Moulin
man.
Rouge.
He's just going to
Shall We
totally,
Dance? Was that his? What was his?
Strictly Ballroom.
Strictly Ballroom.
Yes.
Loved it.
Romeo and Juliet. I mean, like, he's just got a really big vision. And I think in terms of capturing the excess and the glamour of that time period, like those gigantic, ridiculous parties that are, like, in the book that actually happened.
Yeah.
I think there's just going to be something so magical. And then to play up that whole, you know, the idea of the green light across the bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's just going to be, I think it's just going to be a sumptuous feast.
Yeah.
I love it. And for me, I'm a Leo fan.
I'm a Leo fan.
I love Leonardo DiCaprio.
I like Leo.
I think his head is getting a little weirdly shaped.
It's big, isn't
it? It's very large. But he's got good hair.
He does.
And he's a really good actor. And Carrie Mulligan.
Yeah.
Just, ugh. Ugh. Love her. If you haven't seen an Education,
she's great.
Go see
it.
She's phenomenal in that.
Yeah.
So that's coming up.
She's not exactly what I would think for Daisy, but we'll see.
I think it's a really interesting choice.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a little bit more, not quite as interesting as Johnny Depp as Tonto in The Lone Ranger. There's a part of me that feels like, can you do that anymore? It's like almost like putting him in blackface.
Yep.
You know?
I don't know.
It's just weird. But I mean, it'll be interesting. And
he's always got a good tan.
He always has a good tan.
We were talking about that the other day. Where was I? Was I with you? Where we were saying nobody who's a celebrity is tan. Kelly Simpkins.
Oh.
She was like, nobody who's a celebrity is tan. And
the guys are.
And I said, Johnny Depp is. So
I've got
a movie star, not a television star.
Nice, healthy glow about me because I've got this new cream that eats your face off.
There you go.
So there we are.
So your under layers are tan.
But yeah, so not even my... No, I think it's just raw flesh is what's
there
coming through.
There you go. anything else?
Oh gosh, I'm sure there
tons,
has to be
but
a
those
tons.
Are the big. Yes. Those are some of the big ones.
Yes.
Man of Steel, Zorro.
And Star
Ranger.
Trek.
Oh, and Star Trek.
Yes.
The first one was, well, not the first one.
But the new reboot of the franchise?
Abrams,
so good. And then, I can never remember this guy's name. The guy that plays Sherlock. Yeah. Like in the BBC Sherlock series.
I know.
Like it's something Cumberbatch. It's got a terribly British name.
Yes. Let's just call him
Cumberbund. Yeah. Or I would Mrs. Copperbottom is what I'm going to
call Copperbottom.
He's got the best voice on the planet. I mean, it's this very weird, rich sort of glow thing. And I just like, he could talk to me all day long. It's kind of like Alan Rickman and Darth Vader had a baby.
Ooh.
You know, it's just very deep.
I don't know him then. I'm going to be excited to see that. I loved the Star Trek I loved what Abrams did with it.
And can we talk about Zoe Saldana?
Yes.
She's hot.
She is hot.
She is so pretty.
She is a pretty girl.
She is.
And the gay Zachary Quinto.
Yes.
Will be back, which is super cool.
Playing her kind of gay, not gay, her Vulcan lover.
But is there really gayness in the Vulcan world?
Well, they're all kind of pretty much gay, don't you think? With them running around in those suits, like all of them. I would love to see like a slow motion pillow fight between Kirk and Spock, and throw Bones in there too. And that cute little boy they brought on for Chekhov.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's like that little engineer guy.
Yes.
The little Russian dude.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you're adorable.
Yes.
Kiss.
No, he's
make out. They all need to make out. I think every movie would be better if everybody just made out in spandex.
I like it.
And had Superman briefs.
That should be the summer theme. Everybody make out in spandex.
Yeah. And know that if you do go see a movie with me and there are two like cute guys talking to each other, at one point I will just scream out, kiss!
Well, let's go to Jurassic Park and see who you screamed that out to.
I did that already, and yes. It was kind of between Richard Attenborough and Jeff Goldblum. It wasn't pretty.
Oh, my God.
Although Jeff Goldblum is a little sexy to me. I don't know why.
I can see it.
He's got a little something-something.
I can see it. I can see it.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a quirky man.
He is a quirky man.
He was a fly once.
He was a fly once.
That scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you continue to get drier as we all are getting drier. We'll be back next week, but I'm going to hit Jurassic Park here, I think. Maybe tomorrow night.
Do it.
I'm going to do it.
Do it.
And look for the spitting thing that goes... and enjoy it. All right, everybody, have a great week.
Stay dry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.